I'm Ruthie, host of Out There, here on Valley Free Radio. Tune in for stories from the streets and paths of Northampton and beyond, Fridays from 4 to 5 p.m. Get out if you can, but if you can't get out, tune in. We don't care if we live out of date. We don't care if we're a little bit late. Gonna make a scene, baby, me and you.
And that's today.
So I'm here in the Florence Community Gardens.
Sorry. Welcome to Out There. You probably recognize it by the technical difficulties. So today is Friday, July 8th, says the computer. Where's the calendar? I don't know where the calendar is. Welcome to Out There. I'm your host, Ruthie Woodring, for today's show. I got a clip with Manya from the Community Gardens talking about getting things repaired, how difficult it is to get things repaired here as compared to her Indian homeland. And I have Aaron and Jules from Grow Food Northampton at their food distribution site, one of the many ones. They were at, I caught them at McDonald House yesterday in downtown Northampton. Kalia talking about camping, her camping situation. That's a little update from the last time I had Kalia on the show. And Sigrid talking about her pear tree. Maybe Smiles from downtown singing a couple songs. Let's start with Sigrid and give me a couple more minutes to think about other things I might want to say.
So Winston and Sigrid came by to pick up their food co-op order from my house here in Florence. Sigrid, we were talking about pears.
Yeah.
Tell me about this special pear tree in your yard in Northampton.
Yeah, we have a special pear tree in our yard. We've lived there like 18 years already. We've only had about 3 harvests because the squirrels usually take them. But when we've had the harvests, it's been great. But actually, the pear tree doesn't belong to us, even though the house does. Because when we bought the house, the previous owner had a lot of, you know, it was hard for her to sell the house. She had a lot of sentimental value associated with it. She'd grown up there, and she wanted to be able to keep something of it. So in the purchase and sale, the pear tree and actually 2 lilac bushes as well, she kept ownership of those. And periodically, she sends somebody to prune the pear tree and care for it. And sometimes she forgets, sometimes she does it. But we still get to eat the pears. And she lives in Texas, but it's hers. So, yeah.
Wow. Does she ever come during pear season and get any pears?
I don't think she's ever come during pear season. I remember the first year that we had a good pear harvest, I had the idea of sending her some pears through the mail, but I don't think I did it. I think it just seemed too hard to send all the way to Texas. She does, you know, when she's in town, very, very occasionally, she does stop by, but I don't think it's ever been in pear season. Yeah. The pears are, you know, they're not like the kind of pears you could sell to anybody. You know, you have to chop them up and chop out all of the woody, difficult parts, and they work really well for like storing in the, you know, freezer for the winter kind of thing, and using in like pear sauce, that kind of thing.
Yeah. She sends the squirrels as her proxy.
Right. Yeah, I suppose so. Maybe that's what's going on. I've always thought the squirrels must be good eating because if they feast on pears, they must, you know. But
and you got more pears than you expected last year. What was your strategy?
Oh, the strategy. So we had this whole bowl full of acorns sitting in the house because my younger son had decided the previous year that he was going to collect them. And we had a huge bowl of acorns that we had nothing to do with. So it just occurred to me to put them under the pear tree. And I don't know if that was the reason or not. But that year, usually the squirrels take each pear off the tree. They typically take one bite and then drop yet sometimes on the hood of our car or something, you know, just for extra, you know, extra insult to injury. But yeah, this year, last year they left them alone. This year there just aren't that many pears on the tree, and I don't know why. But
well, thanks for sharing. Yeah. Go get that ice cream.
Thank you. See you later, Ruthie.
See you.
And that was Sigrid Schmelzer.
So I'm here in the Florence Community Gardens with Manya picking gooseberries.
Hello.
It's 4th of July.
Yes. And the gooseberries are very thorny, but very delicious.
Yes, the thorns are poking us left and right.
Manya and I had had a conversation earlier in life about the challenges in the United States of getting things fixed when they break. So you said, Manya, in India, if something breaks, you find someone to fix it.
Yeah, always. We don't, like, get new things often at all. So here, like, the only thing I can get fixed is my bicycle because of the bike lab. And that's the only reason I still ride a bike, because something happens to it like every week or every 2 weeks, and I can't spend $100 at a bike shop every 2 weeks.
Well, if you're coming to the bike lab and it's still breaking down every couple of weeks, then maybe the bike lab's not the best place to come to get your bike fixed.
No, it's not breaking down because of the bike lab. It's just my cycling, like, something happens.
It's a used bike with lots of worn parts and stuff.
Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm.
But so, like, did you try to get, what about shoes? Did you try to get some shoe fix? Shoes
in India, fixed? Yes.
Okay, there's a shoe fix guy here, but.
Okay.
Some, well, anyway. So what else, what kinds of things could you get fixed there?
Computers, shoes, spectacles, bicycles, like anything, like clothes, mending of clothes. I mean, actually, it's not, like, there's not only a bright side to it. I mean, the reason it's easy to get all this fixed, I mean, the reason is because services in India are very cheap. And that's because, like, there's widespread poverty. Mm-hmm. So services are cheap, and here services are not cheap. So it would be really expensive to get things fixed here. But in the, I guess it would be ideal to have some way to, like, get things fixed, mm-hmm. not by, like, sort of exploiting someone, but yet have a thriving secondhand market.
Yeah,
that would be a good thing.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, I feel like part of it is because new things are so cheap because people are being exploited.
Yeah,
for us
yeah.
to have new things in the United States.
Right.
So, like, I'm a waste hauler, so I see the waste end of all these things that don't get fixed. So the things that are being fixed in India, are they the same things that we have here? Or are they, because things here, you buy them, they're just like plastic and they break and it's hard to fix them even if you wanted to, the planned obsolescence thing. Are there things in India, household things more durable and made to be repaired?
Not really. I wouldn't say that, like, things are getting fixed there because they are better quality than here. Probably not. But still they are being fixed.
Yeah.
Like here, if something happens, like, you just have to get something new. Mm-hmm. But like there, like, we keep repairing things.
Yeah.
Because here, you just have to get something new.
Because it's cheaper.
It's cheaper. Say. It's cheaper to get something new here. But there, it's cheaper to, like, just get it fixed.
Yeah. Well, like in Trinidad, they would fix bicycle tubes with a string, like a flat tire. If your tube gets a flat,
right?
Do they do the same in India?
They'll put a patch tube, the patch.
Okay. Yeah. Here, like, they pull out the, like, take a pair of needle nose pliers, and pull out the part where that's got the hole in it, and then. It's helpful to have two people to do this. One person holds the pliers and pulls that little piece, pulls the damaged part inner tube up, and the other person ties the string with a bunch of knots around it and ties off the hole. And then you could keep a tube going and going.
That was Manya. You're listening to Out There on Valley Free Radio. I'm your host, Ruthie Woodring. So we were talking about, Manya and I, about getting things fixed. I was at Foster Far the other day. They fix lots of things there. Glass, windows, screens, lamps, electronics. Florence Hardware fixes some things too, I think. I'm not really sure. If any listeners want to comment on my podcast or my archive page about places to get things fixed in Northampton. Northampton used to have those fix-it cafes too, but since COVID hit, the city hasn't organized those. There's the bike lab, of course, for fix-it-yourself kind of bikes. So you can listen to, you can hear archived editions of Out There at weatherbeard.com/out there. And I was just thinking about things that I found in the trash in the last day or two that were easily fixable. One was a fan, a big box fan. It just needed cleaning and lube. That's the main things in fixing many things. I was working on some pumps, bicycle pumps today too. Cleaning and lube. Did I say cleaning and lube? let's see. Next. Oh, yeah. Music break. This is Chungha. Is it okay to play that song before 10 o'clock? It reminds me of a bumper sticker that I used to see more on bikes. The one that says, bicycling. It's all about what's between your legs. You're listening to Out There on Valley Free Radio. See, I was looking for women, like, you know, female power bike songs. And there it was. You're listening to Out There on Valley Free Radio. Next, here we have Aaron and Jules.
So it's Thursday, July 7th, 2022. I'm out doing my pedal people rounds, and I was coming by McDonald House downtown, and there's the Grow Food Northampton van, and a table full of amazing looking produce here. And also here we have
Jules White,
Aaron Ferentino,
Casey
and Casey over there. So what are y'all doing here today, this morning?
Yeah, so this is the Community Food Distribution Project. We come out to 15 different subsidized housing sites twice a week, and we distribute local produce.
Yeah. This is the third site we've been at today, McDonald House. We did Salvo House at Cahill before that. It's a very, like, fun social scene. People come down, they grab produce, they take what they need, and then chat about what recipes they might be making with them. Mm-hmm. And, yeah, it's been very sweet.
Yeah, Casey actually just gave me a bag of fridge relish that she made. Uh-huh. I don't know. It looks pretty good. What's in there, Casey?
Scape, sun-dried tomatoes, red onions, herbs, ginger, and whatever else. I'm not quite sure what, but...
What do you do?
A little maple syrup. You put it on your peas and your beans and your salads and whatever. It's very versatile.
You want to make things taste good?
Yes.
Okay. So your Thursday schedule is the same every week?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, every Thursday goes to the same three sites.
And then we also have another team that goes to Florence, and they do some sites over there. And Michael's house, which is right on State Street, which is also just like a lively bunch. We show up there at... 11:30, and there's like a line of 30 people just like raring to go. Uh-huh. So it's fun.
Do you have any, either of you have any favorite sites that you like to go to?
I like all of them. Everyone, there are like beautiful people at all of them. I like Cahill site because that's where I get the most recipe tips.
Mm.
There are a couple residents there who like always tell me exactly what they made with, last week's produce, and it inspires me, and then I will make something like that and I can tell them how it turned out. But yeah, I love all the sites. I've been doing this for like a year and a half now at this specific route, so I like really know people at this point.
All year round?
Yeah, all year round.
Yeah.
Do you have any favorites, Erin?
Well, on Tuesday we go to Family Housing, and I really like going to Hampshire Heights because, again, there's just like this crew of people that roll up every week, and they all, they hang out for the full hour and just like chat, and there's kids hanging out, and there's some community gardens, so... Yeah, I just like that, exchange that happens. Like, we have this table of produce, but then so much other cool stuff happens, interconnected to that. So, yeah.
How long are you at each site, typically, for the drop-off time slot?
On Thursdays, I think 30 to 45 minutes, depending on the site. So 45 at Salvo, 30 at Cahill, 30 at McDonald.
Yeah, in Hampshire Heights and Meadowbrook, the family housing, we hang out for, an hour. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Do you know when the program started, how it got started?
Yeah, it started, I think, right at the beginning of the pandemic in, April, maybe, mm-hmm. April, May of 2020, originally there was a mobile market that went around. I don't totally know a lot about that because it was before my time.
Pretty much it was just, we would buy produce and then sell it super cheap at different housing sites. But then once the pandemic hit and there was this, balloon of immediate food insecurity...
Yeah.
Grow Food partnered with the Survival Center. And also there was all of a sudden this all onslaught of cash from the government to help distribute food. So it started then, yeah, and...
Bringing people stuff to people's doorsteps instead of having them come to the Survival Center because of COVID restrictions, I think.
Right. And then it sort of morphed into now we have this beautiful market table and we do door-to-door delivery and we've just sort of... Now it's cult gathering, Now we have a following.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. Casey, if you want to add anything...
Community. Mm-hmm. Busting that isolation bubble. Erin, yee!
I remember when, when COVID, earlier in the COVID years,
sure.
There was a lot of the boxes and the bags door to door.
Yeah.
Do you have any thoughts on how the, having the table with people come in to pick what they want? Pros and cons of that versus doing the pre-box stuff door-to-door?
Yeah, I think, now we have an option, so, people can get theirs delivered still, and that will have, they'll have vague preferences on that, so they can say, I, hate cucumbers, mm-hmm. and we won't get the cucumbers. But here, people have a lot more variety. It's also, again, a place for people to see each other and say hi. So I think the door-to-door stuff, it's good that we have the option for people who can't leave their homes for COVID or every, whatever reason. And then we allow people, though, to also, look at the variety, and things are different every week, so you never really know what's going to be available. And
I like seeing people. People bring us stuff. Casey brought me a bag of relish and some cleaning solution that she made. People bring us cookies. Yeah. They hang out. Mm-hmm. And we always like to say, you got to come down to the table because you never know. You might, meet the love of your life. Mm-hmm. Or you do. It's just, the more you bump around out in the world, the more, gold you pick up. So,
And also, I want to add that
the food bank lines are getting longer and longer and longer and longer, and we're getting a little more uncomfortable with the money's running out. So we're hoping there's going to be another wave of support for all these programs.
Uh-huh. That's like the government funding. Like, what's the status of that? Do you want to speak to that?
She can speak to it better. We're trying to spend up monies that are available before they disappear. Right, Erin?
Yeah, totally. Yeah, there was like such a boom of economic support and like volunteer labor at the start of the pandemic, and now that money's going away, and like people's, it's not so compelling anymore. There's not this like emergency hungry people. You know, there's always food insecurity, but in our culture we love a crisis. Uh-huh. And people, I think, right, think the crisis is over, so there's like less motivation to fund these things and like help make it happen.
We want to keep the light on it. It's still going on. Yeah. And it's growing, unfortunately, even in fashionable Northampton.
So you get government money and then you buy food from local farms?
Yeah.
Totally. So who does the shopping?
I do! Yeah, we buy, right now we've bought from 27 different local farms, and that's like a huge piece too, is that we're providing economic support to small farmers and farms that like align with our mission and vision and land stewardship practices. So it's really fun. Uh-huh. I love it.
Okay. What's your shopping route like?
Whoa. What's my shopping route like? Well, most farms come and deliver. But pretty much, you know, we buy from Riquesas Del Campo pretty regularly, and Heart Farm, they come to our Tuesday market, so I'll just have her bring whatever leftover she can't sell. I have a good friend who farms Astarte and Hadley, so if like farms, they have a surplus of stuff, and they're like, we can't sell this stuff. Yeah. Can you take it? Yeah. We'll buy it. Yeah. So it's fun. Yeah. I really like grocery shopping with other people's money.
Yeah. This is an aside, but I heard Astarte was doing all no-till this year.
They are. Yeah. Isn't that crazy?
Who is
hiring?
Astarte.
And wants to be a farm
farmer. Yeah, they have beautiful
They're
stuff.
Hiring. They're hiring a full-time farmer.
That's in Hadley. Astarte and Hadley.
Yeah.
So can one of you... Hey, Casey, you want to describe to me the produce that's available here today?
We have apples, we had oranges, we have bananas, we have one man, he's a one banana man, that's Carl. We've got this dinosaur kale, there's usually collards for those of us who like to mix them. There's these very strange looking yellow cucumbers. There's, is that bib, butterhead, or what's it called, buttercrunch? Loose head lettuce.
Yeah, head lettuce.
And we got big onions, zucchini, yellow squash, potatoes, and carrots, and there will be local carrots, not just your basic orange carrots. We're going to have purple carrots, red carrots, orange carrots, yellow carrots, mm-hmm. all color carrots. And then in the winter, we've got all the root crops to do. So.
And who's growing the bananas?
Great question.
Dear the survival friends center. In California.
California?
No, they're
somewhere far away.
You know, the thing is, people freaking love bananas.
They love the bananas.
When we ask for feedback, everyone says more bananas.
Yes.
So gotta give the people what they want.
Yeah, yeah. It's a big draw.
Yeah.
Anything else you want to say?
I think that's it. Thanks for coming and visiting.
Yeah.
Thanks for coming, Worldly.
Thanks for being here. One more question. What do you think the future is going to be of this program?
Oh, of this program. I thought you meant of the Earth.
Well, we know that.
Well, you know, the next frontier for me is trying to do more, like, cooking community meals with people to, like, have people share their family recipes and show and teach their neighbors what they're cooking with this food. So I think we're going to have a little festival here at McDonald and at Hampshire Heights for corn season. So if anyone has any, like, family favorite corn recipes, email me at erin@growfoodnorthampton.org. Yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
That's Erin Ferrantino and Jules White and Casey. Well, Casey says something about the big onions, so I like that theme. Oh, stop. Sorry. I hate to cut off the first word.
The world. A great big onion. And hate and fear are the spices that make you cry. Oh, man. And the only way to get rid of this great big onion.
Marvie Gaye and Tammy Terrell, 1969. I didn't realize that song was so upbeat. I didn't realize they were trying to get rid of the onion. Anyway, it's all just symbolism. They're not really trying to get rid of onions. We know onions are great.
So it's Thursday. I'm on a bike ride with Kalia, visiting the community gardens. How you like it out here?
I love it. It's very peaceful. I wish I had a spot that I could come and grow stuff.
Last time we talked, Kalia, you were telling me about the campsite where you were staying and paying $750 a month. Several people who heard that commented to me, like, for real? Is that for real?
Plus, I had to work also on top of paying $750 a work for stay.
At the campsite, doing what?
Cleaning the campers.
Other people's campers?
The owner's campers.
The owners. Wow. You were saying at that time that, well, you had water and electricity and a stable place to park your tent and car. But now you're not there, and you have free camping wherever, is it fair to say? Or how would you compare and contrast the situation now?
Well, it's definitely cheaper, but it's not exactly free because I have to pay for gas and I have to move around. Sometimes I sleep at one spot. Sometimes I move to a different parking lot. Uh-huh. Or to make food, I have to go from one store to the gas station to make food. Uh-huh. So it's not like being at the campground where I could do all those things more comfortably. Yeah. This, it's just uncomfortable. It's a lot cheaper, but it's a lot more uncomfortable.
Yeah. Or if you just want like one night inside or away, relax, get out of rain or weather or something like that, how much does it cost like if you go to a motel?
The cheapest one I think I could get is like $80. Uh-huh. For one night.
Yeah. Thanks for sharing.
I mean, it's stressful to stay in the car.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. That I was going to say, you know, the expression is, it's expensive to be poor.
Yes, it is.
Yeah, it's just around and around.
Because you can't cook food, so you have to buy food every time you need to eat.
Yeah.
And sometimes you don't eat half of it and throw away. It's like you don't have a place to put food away to save for the next day or later. So it is very expensive to live poor, like me.
So I'm here at the garden, like, chowing down on lettuce and everything. I'm like, hey, Kalia, you want a piece of lettuce? Want some peas? But
I can't eat lettuce or peas because I don't have my top teeth.
Well, like, how do you survive if you can't chew on, chomp on wild food that you find?
My food options are very limited right now.
But hopefully you're going to get some teeth soon.
Yeah, in a couple weeks I will be having my new set of dentures in the top. I'll be able to eat lettuce again.
I hope so. Not only for the eating thing, but, like, this culture is so, so judgmental about the appearance of teeth.
Oh, I'm very comfortable with myself.
Oh, that's great. Yeah. That's good.
I've even walked around with my hair half done and half undone.
That's one of the things I like about you.
I'm very comfortable with being me, no matter what I look like.
So with...
That was Kalia at the Community Gardens. You're listening to Out There on Valley Free Radio, WXOJLP 103.3 FM in Northampton. I have an interview with Caleb coming up next. I'll play Hoyt Axton first.
Some people say I'm a no-count. Others say I'm no good, but I'm just a natural-born traveling man, doing what I think I should, oh yeah, doing what I think I should. And I don't give a damn about a greenback, a dollar, spend it as fast as I can, for a wailing song and a good guitar. When I was a little baby, my mama, she said, son, travel where you will and grow to be a man and sing what must be sung. Poor boy, sing what must be sung. And I don't give a damn about a greenback, a dollar, spend it as fast as I can for a wailing guitar. The only things that I understand, poor boy, the only things that I understand. Now that I'm a grown man, I've traveled here and there, and I've learned that a bottle of brandy and a song are the only ones who care, oh Lord, the only ones who care. The only things that I understand. Cause some people say I'm a no account, others say I'm no good, but I'm just a natural born traveling man, doing what I think I should, oh yeah, doing what I think I should. And I don't give a damn about a greenback dollar, spend it as fast as I can for a wailing song and a good guitar. The only things that I understand, oh yeah, the only things that I understand. That's all that I understand, poor boy, that's all that I understand.
That's Hoyt Axton. That reminds me, I'll be going to Kentucky next week for 3 weeks, but my show will still be going on Fridays. You're listening to Out There on Valley Free Radio. Oh, yeah, there will be Bike Lab tomorrow, Saturday, July 9th. There will be a Bike Lab, but then not again until August 6th. Is that the date? Saturday, August 6th. Those dates and all the Bike Lab information is on the Bike Lab on the website pedalpeople.coop/bikelab.
You want to learn to fix your bike? How to keep it tuned up so it's there for you when you need it? Or maybe you know already, but you just need to borrow a bike-specific tool that you don't have. Well, come to the Bike Lab.
Almost every Saturday since 2004, from 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. here in Northampton at 12 Northern Avenue.
Come with your bike or your questions.
And your willing attitude.
Spare parts scavenger hunt every weekend.
Vengan al Bike Lab de Northampton, el taller de bicicleta. Aprende a arreglar tu bicicleta y a divertirte.
All repairs guaranteed to the end of the driveway.
Details are online at pedalpeople.coop. That's the Saturday Bike Lab at 12 Northern Avenue. They say freedom isn't free, but at the Bike Lab it is.
All right, next up we have Caleb.
So it's Tuesday, July 5th. That's the day after July 4th, which is a holiday. And in pedal people land, well, the first thing that means is you can hear Caleb in the bowl and a post-route food eating. We're both sitting here on the picnic table in my yard having our post-route, I don't know, first dinner or something. Caleb, oh, so on holidays, the transfer centers are closed, and for pedal people, what does that mean for your routes, Caleb?
Well, I'm one of the pedal people that has a Monday route and a Tuesday route, so that means all the Monday stuff gets stuffed into Tuesday, and that would be like 5 runs in 2 different parts of town for me, which I cannot do by myself, so I got some preemptive partial coverage and a bottom liner, which I did end up needing because I had some ridiculous tire issues. I got a flat, and I had a pump, but it turned out to be broken, which I didn't know, so I had to leave the trailer there and, like, walk my bike to the bike shop to buy a new pump, and it all worked out fine. It just took a lot of extra time.
Did you have energy, mental energy, to think about anything else today besides trying to get your route finished?
I would say yes, because, like, unlike the last post-holiday Tuesday, it wasn't, like, 95 degrees and extremely humid. Like, after that one, I basically just melted and did nothing for the rest of that day. But now I feel fine. I feel like now that that's the bar, like, this didn't feel bad at all.
How long have you been doing Pedal People?
Just about a year and a half, almost. On the dot, actually, because I started January 2021.
Ooh, the heart of winter.
Mm-hmm.
How was that?
I'm kind of glad I started in winter, because it's like, I knew if I made it through that, the rest of the year wouldn't be so bad.
Yeah.
But it also happened to be a pretty mild winter.
Yeah.
So, like, January was cold, but then as soon as it got to February, it just got gray and wet.
Yeah. Yeah, Pedal People itself actually started in December, and one of the things that when we started we appreciated about starting in winter was because if we had started in summer, everyone would have said, yeah, but what are you going to do in winter? So it was nice to start really slow, mm-hmm. really small in December and figure out that we could do it in winter.
Yeah, it's kind of funny because, like, that is a common misconception among non-pedal people, I guess. Like, people ask me pretty often, like, what do you do in winter? Or you guys don't do this in winter, right? And it's like, yeah, we do. It's just the same thing, but more layers, basically. Like, people also think we're volunteers and we do it for free, which, like, no offense, I would not do this for free.
What's your favorite things about doing it?
The bounty of trash salvage, of course. Like, well, that's a two-sided coin, because on the one hand, it's like, yay, free stuff. But on the other hand, it's like, why are people throwing this out? It makes me mad.
Yeah.
It's like, you know, good clothing, unopened, sealed food. It's just, I mean, our society makes it so easy to just get rid of things very quickly and not have to think about it anymore.
Yeah.
And I suppose I'm contributing to that. But at least it's pedal powered.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. I love getting paid to exercise. I think I literally haven't gone for a jog since I started this job. It just feels completely redundant now. Uh-huh. It's like, no matter what else I do in a week, I'm getting like 10, 15 hours of cardio. Mm-hmm. And that's really nice.
Yeah. So you sent a really great article out to the pedal people worker list about trash and that was discard studies article. Do you know which one I'm talking about?
If we're thinking of the same article, it was about how like making quote unquote single use disposable plastic things was like, it was a very deliberate strategy on the part of the plastics industry, because from a profit-seeking perspective, like, the less time people use a thing, the more they have to replace it, and the more they buy, and the more money the plastic industry makes. And there was this one guy who, like, I mean, very intentionally made this, like, glowing speech about it. It was called "The Future of Plastics is in the Trash Can," and, like, I suppose you could maybe argue at the time people didn't know like what the environmental impacts were, but I mean, even aside from that, it was a very conscious cultural push away from like, you know, the practical single item that you keep in your household as long as you can to just disposability. And I feel like even if that had no bad environmental impacts at all, like the social impacts are so bad that alone is worth pushing back on. And it's like, I've gotten neurotic to the point that like I hoard plastic cutlery and wash it and reuse it, which I know has no meaningful effect on the system whatsoever, but it makes me feel better.
Yeah, I think about that too, you know, like the whole idea of being like a lifestylist and thinking that you're going to save the world by, by, you know, riding your bike or washing the cutlery or whatever. But then again, it's like, well, you know, some people have all different kinds of hobbies or ways of living that make them feel good, whether it's like watching their favorite show on TV or going out to restaurants or driving to the baseball game. You know, I enjoy salvaging everything I can and I get great pleasure out of trying to not use more resources than I've already been thrown away. the thing about the article that I remember too is about just you're talking about the shifting the culture and like thriftiness, and I don't know if thriftiness is another word I'm trying to think of about that, like not quite thriftiness, but frugality, you know, those used to be like compliments and now they're insults practically. And that was, yeah, how you say that was like an intentional cultural shift to twist people's minds on that. Anything else you want to say?
Yeah, so like you were saying about the whole personal actions thing, like, you know, me riding my bike to places and saving plastic utensils, like the effect on the world at large is basically nothing. Like, I have this image in my head sometimes. It's like a satellite looking down at the Great Pacific Garbage Patch, and then it zooms in 1/5,000th of 1%, and it's like, that was hauled by bike. But on the other hand, it makes me feel psychologically pretty good, and that, I like to think, has larger ramifications for, you know, what I'm able to accomplish in the world, and how I make other people feel when I interact with them. Because really, like, these systems that feel so all-encompassing, neoliberalism, capitalism, like, profit-oriented enterprises, whatever you want to call it, like, so much of them are just the product of, like, conscious actions that we don't have to do, which is easier said than done in many cases. If you think of it in a really extreme and exaggerated way, like, the end goal of capitalism is for every single thing to be commodified and monetized, and like all human actions to be transactional, and like, and I don't think it's possible to realize it to that extent in the real world. But what it makes me think is that just, like, for example, what we're doing right now, just sitting at a bench and talking and, like, not buying or selling anything, like, that is a resource of our time and energy and attention that we are not allowing capitalism to tap into. Mm-hmm. And so, yeah, defying capitalism on a small scale like that is actually very easy. It's the large scale that gets tougher.
Yeah. Now I'm feeling bad because earlier today, you know, Smiles downtown,
mm-hmm.
who always gives the pedal people cheer, which mm-hmm. she's a pedal person.
She actually gave me a cheer on my way here.
Oh, nice. Yeah, I stopped earlier and asked her. I was like, "Hey, can I hire you to give me a personal concert right now for my radio show?" And she was like, "Well, you don't have to hire me. I'll just sing for you." And then she sang a couple songs, one that she had made and written, and another one. And I gave her some money. But I normally am not transactional like that. And now I'm like, "Oh, yeah. Is that a bad thing?"
Well, the thing about money is, like, I don't think it's inherently wrong to have a universal exchange medium.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it is fast and easy. But, like, growing up in this world, it's really easy to take it for granted. And, you know, it came at a staggering price of, like, you know, straight-out physical violence and also just wholesale erasure of, like, so many other cultures and economic styles and ways of relating to each other. So I think in principle, it's like, it's not wrong in itself to have that mutual understanding of, like, this piece of paper means I give you this thing, but it just makes social relations a lot less necessary,
mm-hmm.
because for most of human history, if most people, like, if they wanted a thing that they couldn't find or make themselves, you'd have to, like, have a good relationship with someone who knew how to find or make the thing, and money has kind of subsumed all of that. Can be very alienating.
Yeah,
and then of course there's the whole thing where, like, the amount of money you have is tied to the ability to survive and support yourself, which is very bad. We should stop doing that ASAP. Somebody should get on that.
I'm thinking about housing and the whole term real estate and how just a place to exist has been monetized.
Mm-hmm.
Once I was doing a bike lab in the park, just free bike lab. You know, I had a sign, I think, that said free bike repair help, and a bike stand set up there. And the woman came by and watched me for a little bit. And then she said something to me like, "So you're not charging anything? Like, you're devaluing yourself and your time." And I thought that was the craziest thing, because I was like, no, I'm reclaiming my time to do what I want with my time, regardless of the money economy.
I can kind of understand that, because, like, certain groups and classes of people, like, have been socialized into doing a lot of free labor
uh-huh.
in many societies. Like, for example, like, the care work that women have historically done. So, like, I understand why it would feel empowering to, you know, get paid for your time and your labor. Because, uh-huh. I mean, money is very much equated with value. Yeah, so I would have a hard time, like, telling someone in that position, like, no, it's more valuable if you don't ask for money.
Uh-huh, uh-huh.
It's complicated.
Yeah, it is complicated. Yeah, yeah, for sure. Yeah, we if you have it, you might see it one way. If you don't have it, you might see it another way.
Well, I hate to end on a bummer note like that. So the positive thing that I can end on, after all this depressing money talk, is that there might be a time bank where you live. And what a time bank is like you do work or a favor for somebody, and however many hours it takes, like you get that in the quote-unquote bank, and then you can quote-unquote spend those hours for other people to like do you favors. And it's like the hours circulate around, but it's very flat and egalitarian in that like an hour is an hour. It doesn't matter if you're doing brain surgery or like giving someone a ride to the airport. And so it causes you to question a lot of like hierarchical relationships between different kinds of work in like the paid wage world. And aside from that, it just feels good to do, I think.
And we have Valley Times right here in the valley.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's the one I'm in.
And it's raining. That's good news.
You're listening to... That was an interview with Caleb Nussbaum, my co-worker with Pedal People. You're listening to Out There on Valley Free Radio. I'm your host, Ruthie Woodring. Coming up at 5 o'clock is Democracy Now!, followed by Evidence-Based at 6, and Civil Politics at 7, Subculture at 8, Table of Contents... Wait, no. Table of Contents at 10. And next, we have... Smiles that I mentioned in the interview with Caleb.
Don't arrest the clown. It was a gag gun. Don't arrest the clown. It was all for fun. Don't arrest the clown.
Sideshow Bob collaborated that one in New York City.
Uh-huh.
That's like one of those old black and white box sets.
Uh-huh.
But in living color. Yeah.
So bury me beneath the willow, beneath that old
that way you'll know just where I'm sleeping. Perhaps someday you'll even weep for me. You sing?
A little bit.
Yeah. Show you mine if you show me yours.
Okay, I'll show you one.
I want to hear a song.
Here's one I made up.
Well, listeners, you're not going to hear that from me right now. We're running out of time. Thanks for listening to Out There today on Valley Free Radio. So that concert from Smiles was downtown on the corner of Main Street and Old South Street, where we saw each other when I was doing my pedal people pickup. Smiles, whenever she sees the pedal person around town, even if I don't see her, I'll hear her say, "Power to the pedal people," or something like that. I told her once that was how pedal people, that's how I came up with the name pedal people one day back in 2002. When we were starting the business, when Alex Jarrett and I were starting it, I was like, the chant from, I think it was like Seattle, "Ain't no power like pedal people power, because pedal people power don't stop, say what?" Well, it was, "Ain't no power like the power of the people." But I changed it to "Ain't no power like pedal people power." Anyway, thanks for listening to Out There, and enjoy Democracy Now while I try and find the right button on this computer.